Welcome to Dodgers Dogs. Casey Porter joined by Austin Brubaker. And hey, Austin, I wanted to say to you, wow, what a job you did Monday night. Thank you so much. That is going to be a really fun segment. I think you're probably going to include Mike in that a little bit too. Going to get you a second monitor so we can play some videos. And man, did you kill that, Austin. So thank you so much.
Yeah, I really appreciate that, Casey. It was a lot of fun to be able to do that Monday night. Was able to go live for the first time on my own in my own studio here in the great state of Michigan. It was a lot of work. Let's just say that I'm not used to really talking for an hour and 45 minutes straight, so my voice was kind of feeling it towards the end of it. But the energy that you guys brought, I can't express how grateful I am for you guys, for the support you were able to show. And there's a lot to talk about here tonight. You thought an hour and 45 minutes, you'd be able to discuss a whole lot of things about the Dodgers, which certainly you were. And that was just right after. And it was also one of those things where I wasn't even anticipating necessarily going live. I was still trying to get a feel for the system. But then Kike Hernandez is a Dodger. They made the trade. Manny Margot goes to Minnesota as well as Donkey. Noah Miller is a Dodger. And so you think there would be a lot that you get into, a lot to talk about an hour, 45 minutes by yourself. But then a couple days go by and you have Shohei Ohtani make his debut yesterday. Yoshinobu Yamamoto play today. You have a couple of other prospects get in. I know Griffin Lockwood Powell got in. Yeah. Damon Keith got in. And you also have potential concerns for the Dodgers as well with Max Muncy potentially being injured. They're doing some x-rays, so you don't know what the future of that is going to hold. I thought I was done talking for quite a while after Monday's show, but I guess not. I guess we have a lot to talk about, and I'm excited to do it with some of the best fans out there in the game of baseball with Dodgers Daily.
If I were to ask you, and we have not rehearsed this, I have prospect video queued up. Who would you say it was going to be on? It's running right now. I just haven't pushed it over.
Oh, that is a good question. I'm trying to think of who you could do it today, because there's a couple of different people. One guy who showed out today, Andy Pages, absolutely killed it.
Is that where you went? Hey, there you go, right there. I pushed it over. They're seeing video.
Push it over, Andy Pages. Okay. Of course, because how could you not talk about Andy Pages after his performance today? This is something that Casey and I have been talking about for a long time. Casey going back years, and I've been doing it, talking about it years, just not on camera because I haven't been on here for that long, but just how good of a player Andy Pages is. This is the player that I saw in 2021 when he came through Great Lakes. This is the dynamic type of player who plays a good outfield. You saw him with that sliding catch today. You saw the power that he had on display, that extra base power. Man, how good of a spring is he having? And some of the young prospect outfielders, how good of a spring are they having?
I would totally agree with that. Jose Ramos is just absolutely growing up right in front of our eyes. And the thing about Ramos is that I have said many different times that he strikes out too much. And I don't mean that to throw shade. I don't mean that to be negative. I actually mean that because I love Jose and I love his game. And I want to see him actually make the major leagues. And you just knew for him to make the major leagues, he was going to have to stop striking out and then start walking more. So, hey, Tim Neverett, if you haven't followed Tim, I actually have an interview with Tim. I communicate with him every now and then. We actually messaged back and forth about 2 days ago. The play-by-play guy on these spring training videos with Rick Monday, I loved it. I loved it when he mentioned that Jose Ramos has worked very, very hard on cutting down his strikeouts and then increasing his walks. Mm-hmm. Because, hey, the Dodgers will put up with you swinging and missing to a point, but that's only if you can match that with walking, right? To where your ISO is fairly similar. So they're not going to allow you to strike out and then also not draw walks, correct? So that was really the emphasis of Jose Ramos's game. And because of that, you've seen him with two strikes, cut down on a swing, go the other way with the pitch, and then also hit the ball up the middle. So if Jose Ramos can do that, we know he's going to be able to do this right here. And just hit absolute bombs. We've seen him do that. I've said it many times. If he can cut down in a swing, gather some hits, gather some contact to match with that, that's when he becomes a major leaguer. So super excited about Jose Ramos. And then obviously we're going to get into Yoshinobu Yamamoto talk here in just a second.
Yeah, no, Jose, just going back onto Jose Ramos, he's making those small marginal increases to improve himself to get to a type of player that is very similar profile wise to an Andy Páez. It's about increasing those small margins, making better swing decisions here and there on a couple of different occasions, which end up lowering your strikeout percentage, taking that base hit and simplifying your approach, going out and being more patient, being able to draw a couple more walks to where you can become a really good, really impactful player. I know it's just spring training. I know we are doing this based off of a smaller sample size, but the sample size that we have seen is very encouraging for the future and growth of Jose Ramos, because if Jose Ramos can come back and really reestablish himself as a big time prospect, like he has been in the past, and like he still is a really good prospect, but if he can continue to make these marginal improvements, then you have Andy Páez and Jose Ramos as two of those guys at the very top level of your minor leagues where you have options going into the future in 2024 and beyond. And they're giving him a lot of looks this spring. They're seeing him in the starting lineup. They're seeing him a lot come off the bench, both Páez and Ramos. And I think Dodgers fans are taking a look at it and liking what they're seeing so far, because these are two guys that have incredible talents, that have the power. We saw both Páez and Ramos hit some out. We've also seen them draw some walks. It's been really cool. It's been really fun. This is the type of stuff that I enjoy and that I love about spring training, why we get so excited about it.
No doubt about that. Yoshinobu Yamamoto, what'd you think about him? He's pretty nasty. Hey, that splitter. Yeah. And then the cutter that he was throwing, and then his four-seam, to me, has a lot of pronation to it, meaning he's turning it over almost like, you know, he's turning the ball right, like Emmett Sheehan kind of does. I thought Yoshinobu Yamamoto was extremely impressive.
Oh, of course he was extremely impressive. And this is the first time that I and many Dodgers fans had this chance to see him live in game action. I know he's did some stuff, World Baseball Classic, pitched a lot in Japan and was one of the most successful, most decorated pitchers in Japan's history. Then he comes over to America and we get the first glimpse at it. And man, he is phenomenal. And the Dodgers did their homework and it is paying off big time for them, or at least we're anticipating it to pay off big time, because the stuff that he displayed is just nasty. How about that one strikeout down low in the zone that got that nasty half cut swing and miss, because there was nothing that the batter could do at that split finger. And then him to be able to work, get around and get the double play after the base hit. Yoshinobu Yamamoto, I think, did exactly what he needed to do and showed exactly some of the skill set that he has. And that's only going to increase the excitement level among Dodgers fans. It was already very high when you pay somebody $325 million. But now even more, when you actually get to see the stuff, there's a reason why the Dodgers paid him and why he was probably one of, if not the smartest pitcher to invest in as far as the big name pitchers on the market. The Dodgers made the right decision, and I'm excited to see him continue to grow and develop and just find even better ways to get major league hitters out. Still early, but his stuff is phenomenal.
I would agree with that. And one of the things I think I was the most excited about was just the care factor. I mean, it was almost like he was nervous. He was giddy. He couldn't wait to get on the field. It was like you were watching almost a 10-year-old kid. You're playing a Saturday game where it's like, hey, Mom, hey, Dad, let's go. I got a baseball game to go to. There was that kind of just fun excitement to it. And from that perspective, that was a lot of fun for me to watch in Yoshinobu Yamamoto, because I think that fun injection into the dugout, obviously very competitive too, is something that the Dodgers are going to really enjoy with him. And then also being 25, the movement on his pitches is incredible. He has right turns. He has left turns. And then another thing, you talk about the margins, Austin. I think one of the things about the margins with him that may go a little bit under the radar, but I think could be a big deal, is that he's going to hold runners. And that's a situation that the Dodgers have struggled with point blank. I mean, Will Smith's not terrible throwing down. He can pop it around 1-8, 1-9, 2-0, somewhere there, probably more consistently close to 2-0, which is about league average. I mean, he has an okay arm, but it's been the pitchers that haven't held runners. And I think the way that Yoshinobu Yamamoto is going to be quick to the plate, I think that's going to be a big margin for the Dodgers too.
Yeah, it's all of those small things, from the making sure that you're holding the runners to just getting a little bit more break on that splitter too. Even I think you made a really good point there about him being antsy to go out there, ready to play baseball. And I think that is something that's really important. The Dodgers have a lot of really good clubhouse type guys, and they've been really successful. They've helped lead this team to the postseason. Yoshinobu Yamamoto seems to be one of those guys that desperately wants to be there on the field in that moment. And I think he's one of those guys who really wants to take the ball and is ready to go. I'm sure there was some nerves and stuff coming over to pitch over in for the first time in America, but that desire, that want to go out there for those moments to compete at the biggest stage is something that you want to see. You want to see that drive, that hunger, because it hasn't shown up for the past couple of postseasons. I'm excited to see Yoshinobu Yamamoto's growth as he continues to progress here in America, here to progress in Major League Baseball. It's going to be exciting. He just showed a little bit of what he has. This is only a small taste. The rest is yet to come, and he's going to be here for quite a long time, pitching for the Dodgers, playing with Shohei Ohtani, and the rest of this really good, talented Dodgers club. They are stacked with talent, and Yoshinobu Yamamoto being the pitcher that the Dodgers signed makes them just that much better, and it's really amazing to watch.
Bobby Miller, four-seam, two-seam, changeup, slider. All these guys, Walker Buehler the same. Tyler Glass now, big fastball, big slider. All this, so they kind of all profile. Now, they all have their all differences in the way they deliver the ball. Maybe the ball looks to a hitter, but they all profile the same. So I think, too, the uniqueness in the way that his ball looks, just from that perspective of things, is also going to provide a lot of value for the Dodgers. He's not the same as a lot of these guys that the Dodgers have, even in their system.
Yeah, it's not similar, or at least not the exact same as a lot of different pitchers that opposing hitters are going to have to go up, they're going to have to prepare for when they go up for the Dodgers. I think that's a really good point. They're going to be looking for these very similar characteristics. Well, if you throw a curveball in there and it's Yamamoto and you have to prepare a little bit different and quite a bit different than the rest of the guys, that just throws off your game plan just a little bit more. And I think the Dodgers really did a good job identifying a guy, not only that has a ton of talent, maybe a little bit different than some of their other guys, some of the other repertoires that their pitchers have, which their other pitchers are incredible. And I think they're going to do a great job. Yamamoto is going to provide a little bit of a different look on the mound. And I think that's just going to make it even that much more difficult for hitters to go up against, and especially because they haven't seen him play at Major League Baseball. He's kind of going in here and can show his stuff. The scouting report, I'm sure they have a little bit on Japan, but they haven't had that against big league hitters yet. I'm excited to see what he's able to do going forward.
Austin, my Dodgers dogs have showed up. Little Vivian's over here to my right, and Big Barn is over here to my left. So, hey, if they come up on the screen, I'm not going to stop them because I love my babies. And if they want to come up on Daddy's lap, then I'm going to let them do that. How's that sound, right?
You got it. It's the name of the show, right?
Absolutely.
Dodgers dogs, of course. And that has to be a recognition of what happens on the show. So yeah. It's exciting to have you back here, Casey. I'm excited that I don't have to talk by myself for an hour and 45 minutes, because that is quite a bit, but I'm excited to do that on Mondays going forward.
Do you have any clue the amount of respect that shows me towards you that you just went on Dodgers Daily by yourself Monday? That's a pretty large sign of respect coming from me, Austin.
Yeah, well, it was one of those things where I couldn't let the Dodgers Daily fans down after the Dodgers made a trade and after they made a signing for Kike Hernandez. It was one of those things where, yeah, I'm kind of going back and forth. Do I really want to do it this week, or should we promote it throughout the week, or wait to do it? Nope, it is time to go on. So, but that's enough about Monday. Today is Wednesday, and we're excited to have the great crowd that we have joining us. I'm sure they're talking about quite a bit right now.
They are, and we're going to get to the chat right now. We have just a wonderful lobby It is Wednesday night in the big town, Austin, and we have nothing but greatness in our chat. What do I always say about our Dodgers dailies, Austin?
They are not the biggest yet, but they are the best.
Our Dodgers dogs are absolutely the best, and let's get to it. Joe Rampley, good evening. Says Pajez is raking. That's why I have him up here. Joe Rampley also says double Y, which is Yoshinobu Yamamoto looking like Cy Young. What a splitter that Yamamoto has. And, hey, it is great to see Mike back here in the moderating here. Mike, welcome back. You did such a wonderful job running the Discord today. If you have not had a chance, go sign up for that Discord and get in on those game videos. I know they had live video going on. They had a wonderful chat going. So check out that Discord, and it's great Dodgers talk in there. So, hey, we have a lot to offer here, and Mike does a great job. So welcome back, Mike, and thank you so much. So, yeah, Joe, we just gave our thoughts on double Y. Matt Cord, good evening, Matt. Thank you so much for joining. Weirdness with the pitch clock violations coming out of the pen. Yeah, I have a little bit different of an – I have an advantage on this. I have a little bit different perspective because I've been seeing the pitching clock at the AAA level for a while now. There is going to be some weirdness. At the beginning, there's going to be some guys that are resistant against it, and they're going to want to be mad about it and all that. They will adjust. And I really do think that as time goes on, like, for instance, Austin, other than a couple of times where there were those couple of weird pitch clock violations, have you really noticed it other than that? I mean, has it been a big impact on the game?
It has not really been a big impact. So I remember it really first coming into effect. I remember 2022, I believe, at the high A level. And I remember kind of at the beginning, it was very loosely. It was kind of just there, but it wasn't really enforced. And then when they started to enforce it, there was a couple of times where I was sitting out in the cold in Grand Rapids, Michigan, for the West Michigan Whitecaps versus the Loons. It was 20 degrees outside. And I think it was Yorbit Vivas, who got run up on a called third strike, but there wasn't a pitch thrown. It was a pitch clock violation. And at that point, it was, okay, this is kind of ridiculous. What's going on with all these pitch clock rules? Throughout the course of the season, the players adjusted to where it became second nature, and I wasn't really there noticing the pitch clock because the guys had gotten used to it. I think there might have been a little bit of weird things that had going on in spring training, maybe miss of communication. I don't know exactly what was going on during today. Guys will adjust, and I don't think it will be that big of an impact going forward in the regular season. Guys are getting used to it at the lower levels of the minor leagues. The younger guys that are getting called up have grown up a lot with this. I think it's going to be something that is going to be the players are going to get accustomed to, and they had in Major League Baseball last season. I have no issue with the pitch clock, really.
I don't either. I've seen it. I can just tell you, man, It, I won't say that it's. I mean, it does speed the game up, but that's not the angle I want to look at this from. What it does is it quickens the pace, meaning the ball seems like it's always being thrown. There's always the next thing getting ready to happen, and there's just less downtime of watching a guy just stand there. Hey, we love baseball, Austin. I love baseball. I love it to death. I don't like watching a guy just stand there because he knows he can because – he doesn't have a specific amount of time that he has to throw the ball to home plate. Once you get used to seeing guys that it's almost like the shot clock in college basketball. They didn't used to have one, right? And then once they had one, of course you didn't realize what you were missing beforehand, so you loved the game. But now if you went back to college basketball without a shot clock, people would be bored out of their minds when it was 38 to 36, right? Whereas 40 years ago, before they put that in, it was okay. You're going to have the exact same effect. Once people get used to the pitcher just pitching the ball, it's going to be a situation to where it's going to be hard to go back. So I love it. I think everybody else, as they get used to it and the pitchers get used to it, they're going to love it too. Hey, Joe Rampley, you both are doing a great job. Thank you so much, Joe. And I know you were very supportive of Austin Monday. Everybody here, let me say this too. It's not as easy as you think to go on somebody else's website like Austin did and try to hold up. We think we have a pretty high standard here. and go on there with all the new equipment and all the new stuff. Hey, we just learned it that day at lunch. And then go up and hold a standard that Austin believes should be a certain level, right? That's not as easy as it looks, Austin. And you made that look real easy. So I say that again to say all of you folks that reached out to Austin and showed him that just wonderful support that you showed him during the show, after the show, and all of that. I can't tell you, Austin can't tell you, we can't tell you how much that actually means.
Yeah, no, it definitely really means a lot, all the support that you guys have and continue to show the show. It really does. It makes this show continue to be worth doing. And as much as we love doing this for the prospects and stuff, your comments really help with that too.
No doubt about that. Hey, Mr. Classic says, Casey, you called Pawhez. Good job. I would say that's probably more of Austin calling Pawhez from there, because you got to see maybe one of the greatest single offensive seasons that anybody's had at the minor league level when he was at Great Lakes in 2021, right?
Yeah, I say this quite a bit. If you haven't had the chance to watch it, go watch his game on September 12th, 2021 against the West Michigan Whitecaps. Just a little bit of context. The Loons were in a playoff race with about a week to go in the season. They were down two games. Cedar Rapids, who was two games ahead of them, had just lost the previous day. And so in that game, Andy Pawhez, not only did he take over the all-time Great Lakes Loons home run record, he also, in one of the most clutch moments I have ever seen and the loudest I have ever heard a Loons dugout before, perhaps maybe in comparison, the only one that would be in comparison would be when they actually won the East title this past season. One of the loudest moments was when Andy Pawhez came up to the bat with two runners on, down two, final out, after there was already some beef between them and West Michigan. And just like he hit a bomb in spring training today, he hit an absolute bomb on that day as well.
You could see it right now, by the way.
Yeah, you could see the absolute clutch nature that Andy Pawhez had. And if you listen to the call from the West Michigan side of things, you can hear exactly what they're doing. There's no record of Brad Tunney doing that, although I'm sure he was going nuts and absolutely crazy, and actually know for a fact he was. That just shows just a glimpse of the nature and clutchness that he had. And if you combine that with the overall level of production that he had through the course of the season, which 150 WRC plus, 29-30 home runs, you combine that with his cannon in the arm in the outfield, there is so much growth, so much room for Andy Pawhez to be a starting caliber outfield at the major league level. It is about opportunity. And I think coming up in the future, there will be opportunity for Andy Pawhez. And if he keeps hitting like this, the Dodgers are going to have no choice but to give him an opportunity with them at the big league level, because he is showing a lot early. He's showing that he is healthy, which was what the question mark was with Andy Pawhez going into this season. And now that he appears to be healthy, he's looking good. He's keeping down that weight that he had lost going into spring training in the past season. He has a lot of athleticism and he still has that power. Now you can expect and anticipate very shortly Andy Pawhez being a Los Angeles Dodger and perhaps coming up in some of the biggest moments of the season, just like he did on September 12th, 2021.
I showed them video of him with the Loons, the time that you're talking about in 2021. And then I just got through showing them video from last year. And I did that so that they could see the contrast between his body style, just how dramatic it is and as far as how he has shaped his body. It is simply incredible. So we do have a question here. We have a comment here from Showtime. Hey, Showtime, thank you so much for joining tonight. What do I always say about our Dodgers dogs, Austin?
Oh, they're not the biggest, but they're the best.
We don't have the biggest crowd, but we have the absolute best baseball talk. No doubt about it. Pawhez should have Hayward's spot. Concerned about Lux's defense. I think there's no way not to be concerned after watching Lux make that play today. That was just,
yeah.
Of course, it's the only play he's gotten. I mean, you can't make too much out of one play. As much as I like Lux, I mean, even I'm looking at that like going, wow. I mean, that that was ugly. That was bowling shoe ugly, right? So you have to be concerned about Lux. I don't think you can say anything other than that. Is it to the point now, though? Of course, Hayward had a good year last year. How soon do you really actually start considering having Andy Páez replace somebody like Jason Hayward?
So this is a really good question. I think this actually brings us up into a potential other unknown coming out of this game. So Jason Hayward was not signed to this team to not play or not have any type of role on this team, at least early. He was signed to, what, a one-year, $8 million contract. He's got a lot of leadership. A lot of the guys in the clubhouse love what Jason Hayward is able to provide. So I think at least to the start, at least a good couple of months into the season, he's going to have every opportunity to play a lot, to hopefully go up primarily against right-handed pitching where he performs the best, where he can put himself into the best matchups that he can, just like what they did last year. And he was a good, solid, productive hitter. The question going forward, and obviously Lux did not perform well on the one play he was hit to. You need to see better than that. Otherwise, it very well becomes a question of what do you do at shortstop, and do you need to go out and get a Willy Adames? Coming out of today's game, as good as Yamamoto is and as good as Andy Páez and some of this other stuff are, the potential biggest story coming out of this game that we don't quite know, what is the health of Max Muncy after he was hit by pitch during the game today? He's going to at least miss the next couple of days, depending on what happens with the x-rays that are going down tomorrow. That is leading to some questions about
we have in the chat, no broken bone for Muncy. That's coming from Mr. Good. Classic, yeah.
And if I'm assuming that you are accurate in that, in which case this does, then you assume that he might take a little bit to heal, but he should be ready to go fairly soon, ready for opening day. But these are the types of situations that will come up through the course of the season, and that very well could come up, whether it could be an injury here or there. And that's when there could be an opportunity. I think first, or at least early in the season, you could see that come from a Miguel Vargas. But if Andy Páez keeps showing us what he can do, you have positional versatility with Kike Hernandez and Chris Taylor to where they can play a lot of the infield, and that can open up a spot for a guy to have a fourth outfielder type spot like an Andy Páez could fill. So I think there's going to be potentially opportunities. It might have to do with injury, because right now I'm still projecting the main 13 now instead of Margot with Kike to be up there, because I don't really see anybody else that they would move around and decide between. Andy Páez is going to make that conversation very difficult, and that is a good problem to have.
It certainly is, and we're looking at video here of Jason Hayward, and that platoon there, first of all, the Dodgers are going to give Hayward, I would imagine, at least till July. I mean, I just can't imagine any situation to where it's anything remotely fast as far as just the way that they operate, man. I mean, they like guys like Jason Hayward in those types of positions. And then also, let me play a little bit of contrarian. With Andy Páez right now, you mentioned being the fourth outfielder. I'm not sure, of course. Here's where I'm coming at it from this perspective, so let me give you the context of the perspective I'm coming from first before I actually get into the meat of the potatoes of what I'm saying, right? I think Andy Páez is the starting right fielder for the Dodgers of the future. I think as of right now, things are fluid, they can change, this and that. But as of right now, Andy Páez is the future right fielder for the Dodgers. Do you have any problem with that statement, Austin?
I have zero problem with that statement.
So I want Andy Páez to continue developing as much as he possibly can. I'm not exactly sure being the fourth outfielder at the major league level right now and getting inconsistent at bats is actually going to allow him to develop the way that he needs to continue to develop to be the everyday starting outfielder starting next year or even in August of this year. So even if you think Andy Páez is the starting right fielder in August this year, I don't think making him the fourth outfielder at this point and giving him sporadic at-bats is as good for him as just sending him back down to AAA Oklahoma City. Keep in mind, guys, he got hurt on his very first at bat in AAA Oklahoma City. He has no AAA experience. So I think sending him back down, let him see those 30-year-old veterans that pitch in AAA that have 200 major league innings. They're all over the place in the PCL. Let him see that. Let him keep developing. Evaluate Jason Hayward at the point that Jason Hayward, in your mind, is not the right fielder. That's when you go strike on Andy Páez. That's the path I would take with him.
Yeah, and I think that's incredibly well thought out, because you want to make sure that Andy Páez is getting consistent at bats, ready every day type of at bats. And if that's not going to come at the major league level, maybe that's not best for his development to only see pitching two times a week. I don't think that is great for Andy Páez, and I don't think that would lead him to becoming the best type of player that he can be. I still think that he should get some at-bats at the major league level, but if you're going to call him up at the major league level and play him for a couple of weeks, have him be playing every single day and see how he can adapt. So at least you have a little bit of an answer of him going forward as an outfielder, similar to how I'm still want Gavin Lux to at least get some reps at the shortstop position right now, because I want an answer. Can Gavin Lux be that type of shortstop going forward for the Dodgers? If the answer very clearly is no, at least you have an answer, and then you don't have to waste your time around in 2025, assuming that he's or having questions about him being the shortstop. Getting an answer to a lot of these questions is important, but also keeping in mind the development of these players and what's going to make them the best possible player. That's kind of why Casey and I talk a lot about the up-down train for a lot of these pitchers and questioning whether that is best for the development and growth of these each individual players. That is something that is crucial to keep in mind with Andy Páez. You don't want him to be called up and then just go sit on the bench. I don't think that is the best for him. If you want to call him up and you say, hey, he's better than Jason Hayward, make Jason Hayward the fourth outfielder.
Yes.
Then there's an argument to be had, and then Andy Páez can play every single day or at least 5 days a week. And then you're having a very real conversation about that. But if it's something where he's sitting more towards on the bench, then maybe is that the best for his development, or would you rather that role be used for somebody else that you might want to get some at-bats, you might not feel completely comfortable, but you wouldn't have any problem moving on from them, more like a veteran journeyman type of player who's still looking for opportunities to compete. I want Andy Páez to get the most at-bats, the most reps that he can, because I want him to be ready to go in 2025 at the very latest
or
to become a Dodgers. Or August. And if Jason Hayward does not perform to the level, you have a great backup plan that can fill in there, play every single day, and has shown up in big-time moments. I know it's minor league baseball. Those are the moments that he's been given. I think those moments will translate, though, to big-time moments for the Dodgers.
Andy Páez is just man, he has every tool. Now that he's lost the weight, he can play all three outfield positions. Could not be more excited about him. I don't know how you could be any more excited about the way that he's showing out, him and Jose Ramos. Hey, and I've got to get to the guy, okay? And let's get to the chat here. We'll talk about this guy here in just a second. Hey, Daryl Jackson, good evening, Daryl. What do I always say about our Dodgers dogs?
Oh, they're the best.
They are the best. Daryl Jackson, I'm enjoying watching Andy Páez and Jose Ramos this spring. Let me add one more guy to that. And actually, the guy that is leading the organization right now in RBIs. You know who that is?
Who is that?
That is my man, Ryan Ward. Let me get some video up on him. Let's play him. Ryan Ward. And not only is he leading the organization in RBI so far in spring training, he also has come up with two massive hits. Saturday, he had the bases clearing double. Yesterday, I believe it was yesterday, all these games start running together. Yesterday, he had an RBI single, I think, to tie the game, something like that. Don't quote me on that. Like I said, spring training, I really don't even know what the score is half the time. I'm watching the game because it's all about everything but that. But, hey, Ryan Ward is a guy that in a lot of ways is performing every bit as good as Jose Ramos, every bit as good as Andy Páez, and in some ways even better whenever you just look at just overall hit tool and gathering hits. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, he is having himself a great spring. Ryan Ward was part of that exact same lineup that Páez was on growing up, developing, actually got called up to Oklahoma City in 2023 before Andy Páez got called up. He was a little bit further along in his development, and I have all the respect in the world for Ryan Ward. He's got a lot of power. He's got a lot of that clutch, that good, solid hit tool in him. He struggled a little bit offensively last year. I don't think there's any doubt comparing him to a lot of the league average. Still was able to hit fairly decently well, was still able to hit for power. And I think you're seeing, at least early on in spring, with him getting consistent regular at-bats for the Dodgers in big league spring training, you're starting to see a little bit of a glimpse of that big league hit tool. He's hitting 400 in spring right now with a 700 slugging percentage, so he's doing himself pretty well. He's got six RBIs. He's doing a lot of little things, good, smart things, and then he's coming up in those big clutch moments. And I know for a lot of Dodgers fans, it's just a spring training game, but when you get those base runners on the game on Saturday, the energy is hyped up a little bit. And then you see Wardo come through with the game tied to clear the bases, to tie the game, put them up 3 runs, 7-4 at that point, game ended in the tie. You got pretty excited at that moment, even if you are not necessarily, don't know a whole lot about Ryan Ward or his story, but you're just excited to see the Dodgers. That's a fun style of baseball, and Ryan Ward plays a fun style of baseball. And watch out, because he can hit a ball a long ways too.
I think where Ryan Ward falls behind Jose Ramos and Andy Páez at this point is, one, he's left-handed, and you already have Hayward, you have all these left-handed swings, right? So the Dodgers were specifically looking for a right-handed stick. And two, when you look at the arm strengths of Andy Páez and Jose Ramos is way more rangy as far as the type of outfielder he is, better athlete, and all of that. So when you look at the hit tools, I honestly think that just overall, Ryan Ward has a little bit better hit tool out of all three of them. Keep in mind, just 2 years ago before he got hurt, I believe he broke his foot in August, he was hitting 286, and he was leading the entire organization in home runs. So when you think of like Andy Páez and Jose Ramos, one of the things you think about as far as their offensive profile is that they hit a lot of home runs, right? Just kind of in an underrated manner. Ryan Ward actually has been as good of a power hitter in a lot of ways as those two guys. And he also has been able to do it at times being able to have a higher average. Now, last year wasn't one of those. Not going to sugarcoat it. He did not have his best year in AAA baseball last year. So, I mean, I can't lie about that and sugarcoat over that. But I do think he'll have a bounce back. I think it's starting right now. But again, I think it's a situation to where he is an extremely good hitter. It's very crowded. We say it all the time. I think this definitely applies to Ryan Ward. Hey, man, these guys are auditioning for all 30 clubs. I think he's squarely in that boat.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, each one of these guys, the prospect, whether you're playing for a Dodgers, whether you're part of another uniformist, but especially it's true when you're in the Dodgers system, when there's so much of a logjam going up to the major leagues. And even when you get to the major leagues, it seems like you can't find a role to stick just because of how difficult it is to stick in this organization. Every single time that you go on the baseball field, you are auditioning for every single club, not just for the Dodgers, who are going to be watching close. Every single club is watching you go out there and perform, especially because every single one of the Dodgers spring training game is televised. That means that every single club has somebody watching you, watching those moments on there, whether they're in person or whether they're watching on video. And so with Ryan Ward, where it might feel like there might be not be a whole lot of room or opportunity at the big league level, this is somebody past three seasons, 27, 28, 21 yeah. home runs.
Yeah.
A lot of power in this bat and still a lot of really good hit tool that he has. He is going out there, not just for the Dodgers, who that would be best case scenario for him and for the Dodgers because this organization grew up, but also for every single other organization as well. And he's showcasing the skills that he has, similar to the skills that Jose Ramos and Andy Pages in that great Dodgers outfield prospect list. They are showing all of the skills that they have early in spring training. Again, it's still early in spring training. We haven't even hit March yet. But what they're showing right now, you look for those signs, you look for those glimpses of potential, and they're showing a lot of those really good signs. And you're just excited about the years that they can have and they can continue to keep this up.
One thing I'd like to say too, hey, let me congratulate the Dodgers organization. You just signed Shohei Ohtani, Tyler Glasnow, Teo Hernandez, Yoshinobu Yamamoto, and you're just parading one prospect out there after the other, which is just simply awesome. And you know, you're looking forward to spring training and people are wanting to see Shohei Ohtani. They're wanting to see all these guys. And what are the Dodgers doing? They're playing Jose Ramos every day. They're playing Ryan Ward every day. Ricky Venasco's pitched, I think, now three times, right? They're throwing Gavin Stone in the first game. They're getting Landon Knack out there. They're getting all of the – Austin Gauthier has played like in three or four games. Griffin Lockwood Powell got in today. Damon Keith got in at bat. So with all of this hype about all of these just Hall of Fame type of guys that you signed this year, this entire spring training has been almost exclusively about the Jose Ramoses and the Andy Páez and the prospects. Now, obviously, the Yoshinobu Yamamoto thing and then the Shohei Ohtani home run yesterday was huge. I'm not saying that. But all the other aspects of it, congratulations to the Dodgers for giving these guys the run that you're giving them here. Because now, as we're seeing in our chat, Austin, we've been talking about these guys. Okay, yeah, it's at the minor league level. Now a lot of people are getting to see with these guys with their own eyes, and they're going, oh, dang, man, these guys actually are pretty dang good, right? Yeah. And they're only getting to have that opinion because the Dodgers are allowing the fans to see these guys, which, in my opinion, is what spring training should be.
Yeah, it's what spring training should be and what the Dodgers are doing there, flexing the might of this great farm system that they have, of all the great talent that they've been working with, that they've been developing, that all of these coaches and this organization, all the player development staffs, they have put in so much effort into this side of the game, which you would think with the Dodgers and their abilities, they could just go out there and spend the money to put a good winning organization. But as we say a lot, the margins matter. Every single aspect of your organization matters. And all of this hard work is paying off by seeing a lot of these guys come up and really start to showcase and perform. I know a lot of other organizations, they call up a lot of these younger guys, but to see the guys that the Dodgers are calling up, the team that spent $1 billion in the offseason, to see all of these good, talented guys. And then you see some of the guys come out, even when there's just a one out type of situation.
Yeah. Man,
Ben Harris has been striking everybody out that he's been showing up there. Michael Hobbs came into the day. Hobbsy came in. And I know fans will just talk about the mustache that he has, which it is epic. But his stuff, I'm telling you, if you haven't had a chance to watch Michael Hobbs and his breaking ball, go ahead and watch that, especially from, I typically had watched it from the third base dugout, or which typically was the dugout that the Loons were by. That thing drops off a cliff, and it is nasty. And there's a reason why he pitched in a lot of big game moments last season. And you're seeing a glimpse of some of these arms come up, as well as some of the prospects. You had mentioned Austin Gauthier. He had a couple of hits today, walked a couple of times, I think only striking out once so far this spring training. Starting to see the skill set that he has and the potential growth, especially with them bringing back a Kike Hernandez, and you know how much the Dodgers value positional versatility. Austin Gauthier provides that positional versatility by playing second, short, third, left field. He played some right field as well. Those are a lot of positions that those guys can have those guys have played before. So that creates a lot of options that the Dodgers can have. And at worst case scenario, or at least I guess best case scenario, I should say, you have too many of these guys and you have to figure out how to do right by them and how to get them the opportunities. And then you can go after trade packages, and then you can go get guys like a Tanner Scott who might be able to help this bullpen. If there happens to be, and hopefully there's not any type of injury, you can use some of these guys to go out and help the big league club and win the World Series in 2024. But I think Dodgers fans are starting to watch these guys and really starting to like how these guys play. And this is something that Casey and I, you guys just get a glimpse, a small glimpse of on a nightly basis throughout the minor league season, the type and style of play that these guys play with at the minor league level. I highly, highly encourage you guys to take some time, watch all of the Dodgers games, but take some time to watch some of these minor league games as well and watch these guys grow and develop, because it is a lot of fun and they are worth watching as well.
I would agree. And we have a comment here that a lot of these guys are increasing their value. And I think that's a big part of it too, is that the Dodgers know, and all these guys know, you do the math, less than 10% of the guys that start with the Dodgers are ever going to actually make an impact with the major league club as you move up levels. And so the Dodgers know that they have a lot of guys that if they can increase their trade value, then they can go get a Tanner Scott, somebody like that. And so I think it's big, too, that all these other clubs are getting a good look at these guys against all the other teams. And at least what you're seeing is the Dodgers have only lost one game. This organization is so deep, they could put out 10 to 15 teams that could win spring training games. I think you're starting to see that as far as every position.
By the way, even there is hope on the other side of the equation when these guys moved on. You'll like this, Casey. I don't know if you had a chance to see this, but during one of Eddie's Leonard, who's having a really good spring for Detroit, he had a base hit for Detroit. Guess who the Rays were interviewing during that? They were interviewing Johnny DeLuca, and he was talking about how he was running track in high school while Eddie's Leonard hit a base hit up the middle to center field. And that's stuff that we've been talking about for a long time, to see these guys continue to do well, even outside of this organization. That just shows the level of depth. And when you have that level of depth, that allows you to get the pieces that you need to win a World Series, which is the ultimate goal for the Dodgers. And it also creates opportunities for these other guys who might not have a position for the Dodgers because of how talented they are, to get opportunities elsewhere as well. So a lot of really cool stuff happening in spring training.
Show says, I know we're not big on prospect lists, but I'd go to Paula 1, Rushing 2, Stone 3, Pajes 4, Hurt 5, Knack 6, Jackson Ferris 7, Cartaya 8, Lorenzo 9, River Ryan 10.
I can say that all of those guys are definitely deserving to be in the top 10. I'm not going to give any sort of opinion as far as the order, just because I've interacted with some of these guys, but all of those guys, incredible talents that a lot of them, Stone, Hurt, Knack, you're going to see get some opportunities at the big league level coming up this season. I'm excited to see what they're able to do. Then I'm also excited to see the growth of some of these catchers as well, for Rushing to get up to Tulsa and to make that journey at the hardest increase in level from high A to double A, for Cartaya to see how he bounces back. All of those guys, incredibly talented, and definitely a lot of really good names on that list.
100%. And it is just exciting for Dodgers fans to get to see these young guys. You know, you're getting to see Ohtani, you're getting to see Yamamoto, you're getting to see Freddie Freeman and all the stars, but it's fun to get to see these guys too. Hey, Daryl Jackson. Actually, let's get to Mr. Classic first. Good evening, Mr. Classic. Thank you so much for joining Wednesday night in the big town on Dodgers Dogs. If you haven't done so yet, hit that like button, leave a comment, tell all your friends about Dodgers Daily, and become a subscriber. Hey, Mr. Classic says Stone and Pajes has moved up for him. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Stone didn't control the slider quite as well as he'd like.
Yeah.
So I think that's probably one thing that you were going to want to look for, but it is spring training. But I think other than that, Stone has looked good, and I'm not quite sure I've seen him throw very many cutters. So, I think Stone's looked pretty good to this point.
Yeah, he's looked pretty good. I don't think his outing the two-inning outing that he had yesterday, I don't think he had complete control of a lot of his pitches. It seemed like a lot of them were kind of drifting down. But I think still what he's able to show.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. I still think that he's shown a lot this spring. I think you're going to continue to see him grow. Last year was a huge learning curve, and he had to learn how to adapt and how to get to a point where he could get those swings and misses on that changeup, which has been on display in spring training. Can't rely exclusively on that pitch at the big league level. Not saying that he was doing that at the minor leagues, but he had to make a little bit of a correction course. And I think he has made that correction course.
There's the
and
one he I think he's right going there. To con- Sorry about that. They just saw him pull that slider. There you go.
Yeah, I think he's going to continue to make these adjustments. Spring training is still a work in progress. You can't judge anybody completely based off of an outing or two, but from what we've seen so far, it has been encouraging. And I believe, what was it, Andy Pages that he has mentioned? Of course, we've seen and talked about how good he has been in this spring training.
Now, if you want to know why guys like Charlie Huff, that if you asked him about Gavin Stone, why they are just so high on him, watch this changeup right here. Whoop. Golly, that's a pitch. Wow, that's a pitch. That's the one he threw in his last outing for his first out. That is a just wicked. Now, I get it. It's got to be in the zone. He pulled the slider, the pitch before that. I'm not saying any of that. He's got to do a better job, I think, with his slider getting into the zone. Kind of like Michael Grove. That slider was the difference for Michael Grove because it gave him that in the cutter. It gave him a pitch to get in the zone that wouldn't get ambushed to get him ahead in the count. So, man, that changeup he threw right there is just absolutely dirty. And then we have a comment, River Ryan can't wait. I have had reports that the Dodgers have mentioned that, let me get some River Ryan video going here, and then we can be watching him pitch, that they have shut him down similar they did Bobby Miller, probably throwing on the backfields, getting loose, because he threw 104 innings last year.
Yeah, it could very much be that. I'm not exactly sure. I have no inside information about anything going on with River Ryan.
I have read that from reputable sources. Once I saw that on our chat, or it's a comment the other night, I looked it up. I have seen that actually printed by reputable sources. I can't remember which one, so I think it at this point. Now, again, things can change. I think that's the plan at this point.
Yeah, so is the plan more to keep and kind of make sure that he's getting the appropriate amount of innings, make sure that they're keeping his arm healthy? From what you've been able to hear, is that kind of more of the idea for River Ryan right now, or not entirely sure?
So he came over to the Dodgers as a two-way player, right? And, I mean, mm-hmm. He hadn't pitched a whole lot in his life. I know he is a two-way player at UMC Pembroke, but 104 innings, I think that's I think I'm right on the dot with 104 is what he threw last year. That's a bunch. And so you don't want him to come up like Nick Frasso did with a shoulder injury, or Walker Buehler with the Tommy Johns. You want to play it safe. At this point, you have plenty of depth. You have Kyle Hurt. You have Emmett Sheehan. You have Michael Grove, Landon Knack, Gavin Stone. You don't need him on the major league club right now. You might need him in August, because that's when people start getting hurt, right? So you want to maximize his positioning to be available in August. I think that's probably the reasoning there, just looking at the amount of innings that he's never thrown that amount of innings or anything close to that.
Yeah, and you were right on the dot as far as the number of innings he threw last season, which was another step up for him coming off of the previous season, coming off of becoming a pitcher instead of a two-way player in the Dodgers organization. Yeah, no, I think you're right on the money with that. And I think that is really smart if that's what the Dodgers plan to do. They want to kind of save his arm, save some of his innings for perhaps later in the season, because right now, it doesn't seem like you need a River Ryan, even though Walker Buehler might start a little bit later, even though with that situation, there might be a roster spot opening in the starting rotation. I think River Ryan would have been a much more of a long shot to make that fifth starting pitcher role, just because a lot of the other guys have more major league experience and they're on the 40-man roster as well. So if that's not going to be the case, might as well put River Ryan in a better position later towards the end of the season. Have them throw the amount of innings that you want, but have them be in an optimal time to where, man, if you need to call up a River Ryan because you're dealing with some injuries, you feel comfortable and you don't feel like you're running up into a wall with innings limit that the Dodgers certainly want to protect the great arm that is River Ryan. They don't want to run into that limit. I'm still super excited, and I think Dodgers fans are, about River Ryan, about his stuff, because they got an absolute steal from San Diego in that trade. And he has all the potential in the world going forward. River Ryan, he will be coming up at some point. The question is when, and I trust the Dodgers to do what they think is best for River Ryan going forward in 2024 and beyond.
Hey, man, we're a little bit behind on the chat, so let's go rocking and rolling on this. Nando390, thank you so much for joining. Nando always has awesome comments. Dodgers prospects increasing their value so far. I would agree with that. We've talked about that. Joe Rampley, yes, he is fast to home. I'm not sure who they're talking about there, so let's keep on going. Hey, he's going to shove in Korea. Yamamoto, we're talking about. One Eye Dragon says we have an embarrassment of pitches. Yeah, we sure do. Yamamoto is very good. Joe Rampley wants to say thank you to Austin. We are stacked, very stacked. One Eye Dragon just wow, Yamamoto. Yes, people are very, very, very impressed with Yamamoto, as they should be. Nando says this is the talented lineup minus Austin Barnes. I think Austin Barnes is the guy that he drives Dodgers fans nuts, but he's going to be on the roster until his contract is up, which is at the end of this year. Hey, there is that link to the Discord. Samuel Ellis, Lux will get 2 months to figure it out then. This is the problem that I was worried about with Gavin Lux. As soon as he makes an error, Dodgers fans are going to lose their mind with this guy. You got to keep in mind, he has not played shortstop at a full-time level since 2019. And so if he comes out and he didn't play well early, Dodgers fans are going to want to immediately make a move with this guy. I'm not saying they're wrong. He might not end up being the answer at shortstop, but he was, again, yeah. I'm going to say it again, coming out of 2019, he was the best shortstop in minor leagues. He's physically capable of doing it. There is going to be an adjustment period for them. The Dodgers are going to have to be patient with him.
Yeah, and I don't think it is a wise decision to make a judgment call on a player based off of one play. No matter how that play ends up going, I don't think that is the best way to go about doing it. And I think at least early in 2024, you need answers for 2024 and beyond if Gavin Lux can be the shortstop for you going forward. And so I think they're going to give him some time. And if it doesn't work out, you can make a move, but at least you have an answer.
Yep. Lorm Lee says there's a reason the team moved Lux to second base when he's in the minors. That actually is not correct. He was a shortstop the entire 2019 season that he was in the minor leagues, and he was actually the best shortstop in the minor leagues that season. I saw it with my own eyes. He was just simply fantastic. I was actually on the grounds crew there. But I'm not saying, again, I'm not saying he is the starting shortstop. I'm not saying you don't have the right to think that he's not the answer or not good. That play today, I can't defend. I can't defend the way it looked. It wasn't good. So I'm not saying that you're wrong there as far as whether he actually is good or not. I'm just saying he wasn't moved from shortstop to second base in the minors. He came out of the minor leagues as a great shortstop prospect. So the bat just doesn't make up for the defensive shortcomings at a key position. We'll see. At this point, if he keeps playing like he did today, that would be a pretty obvious thing. But I think you hit the nail on the head with that. You need to find out, Austin. You got to find out at some point.
Yeah, you have to find out. And then if the move is Willie Adames, then you go ahead and go out and get a Willie Adames. But if you get Willie Adames after one spring training game, then it becomes a question, okay, do we re-sign Willie Adames? Do we go out and get another shortstop? Was it had to do with some of the injury with Gavin Lux? What do we do with shortstop in 2025? We do this exact same thing all over again at that point. Might as well get an answer right now, and then at least you know going forward. And then if Gavin Lux isn't the answer, so be it. Then you know what you need to get, or you know exactly what you're looking for going forward in 2024 and beyond, because then Gavin Lux wouldn't be the answer at shortstop. But you won't know that unless he's given that opportunity.
And also, I would say this. Give the organization some – let me say this. The organization will fix this. They didn't go sign Shohei Ohtani and all these guys to let shortstop be such a sore spot that you can't win. They didn't do that. They are going to fix this. They have a plan put in place. It's the best. If they can get Gavin Lux comfortable, he's physically capable of it. I'm just telling you, I say that over and over. They have a plan in place, and by the time they need it fixed, they will have this situation fixed. Give them a little bit of just kind of breathing room on that. I promise me, they have plan A, they have plan B, they have plan C, they have plan D. Right now, Gavin Lux is plan A. Let's ride with that. Let's see if it's not the answer, then you pivot, and we'll see how you go from there. And also, you have Miguel Rojas that can comfort things. You have Chris Taylor before you even go. And I'm not saying for like a long-term solution, but if you just needed to move Gavin Lux to second base for a couple games, just to kind of get his confidence back or something like that, I think he could do that. So they have plans for this. Hey, Mr. Classic, it's more like a short-term deal with opt-outs for Blake Snell, and that's a response to Mike, our moderator. Blake Snell is stated he is open to a one-year contract with incentives. Incentives, baseball fans will really be mad if the Dodgers pick him up.
Yeah, they certainly would be mad.
One-year deal for Blake Snell, that's been the hang-up for him, is that we thought he would sign for more years than he would actually produce for. 1 year would make sense for him, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Now, again, I'm going to preface this that I am not anticipating the Dodgers to go out and get Blake Snell. If you're buying a Dodgers Blake Snell jersey, I'd advise you to probably go get a Yamamoto or Ohtani jersey before this happens. Austin, yet. So just be patient with this. But I will say,
or a Great Lakes Loons alternative hat.
You could get a Great Lakes Loons alternative hat, which is available at loons.milbstore.com. But Blake Snell, the reason why I didn't want to go after Blake Snell, there's a lot of concerns about the underlying numbers, about him going forward, predicting how he's going to do in the future. Two-time Cy Young Award winner, yet with a lot of the underlying metrics, I don't know how he's going to be a couple of years down the road, 4, 5, 6, 7 years, to where if you sign him to a long-term deal similar to a Yoshinobu Yamamoto, which I know they wouldn't have given Blake Snell 12 years, but maybe if you sign him to a 6, 7, 8 year deal, I think it looks really ugly towards the end of that. But if you sign him and you're somehow able to get him on a 1, 2, maybe 3 year deal, then that becomes, okay, you're getting a really good, talented starting pitcher, a Cy Young Award winner off of a Cy Young Award winning year, to where you don't have to worry about the long-term concerns, which are the biggest concerns with Blake Snell.
Or maybe the only concern.
That is the concern with Blake Snell, and he's a lefty, to where maybe it becomes a possibility. Again, I'm going to preface this. Don't buy your Blake Snell Dodgers jersey quite yet. Be patient, but I expect Blake Snell to go elsewhere. But if that is the case, then that becomes something of a, you're already spending way over the luxury tax. What's a little bit more?
Yeah, I agree. Hey, we have a comment here that Austin did a great job from Craig, and also from Tommy Price that Austin is big stuff. Hey, they like you, man.
I appreciate that.
I know talent when I see it, right? That's the old coach in me. I saw the talent and I ran with it, right?
Oh, we had a phone call in Fort Wayne. That's the first time we ever talked. And that was right before Justin Robleski pitched. And I was getting some video for Casey. And then things just kind of sprung forward from there. I'm extremely blessed and grateful to be in this position.
Hey, Mr. Classic says the Snell deal is more like a short-term deal with opt-outs for him. Norm Lee says, Hosey is having a solid spring. Good to see. Boy, that is good to see. Let me get you some video up on Cody Hosey. This is a guy that was a first-round draft pick in 2019. He was a guy that just simply has not gotten his offense going. And part of that was the fact that he did hurt his oblique in 2021 and just really never got comfortable or anything like that afterwards. And then in 2022, he started to get hot, and then he broke his foot. And then he came back, he started to get hot again, and then he hurt his leg, or I can't remember exactly what injury it was. So it was just stop and start. So there's been so many stops and starts for Cody Hosey. Finally, we saw, I know you mentioned this last time we talked about him, I think a couple of shows ago, Austin. Last year, guess what he was the entire year?
What was he?
He was healthy, right? Mm-hmm. And then what did he start doing at the end of last year?
He started to perform a little bit.
He started to perform like the first-round draft pick he was in 2019 out of Tulane, and that's because he got on the field long enough to get comfortable to show what he's capable of. Now, I'm not trying to sit here and tell you that Cody Hosey is going to end up being a great offensive player. I can't tell you that. I would be lying to you. You Dodgers dogs are the best crowd out there. I got to be real with you. I don't mean to be throwing shade when I say that. But I am telling you that Cody Hosey did show signs last year that whenever he stays healthy for an entire season, he can do that right there, and he can start playing offense at least closer to what Dodgers fans hoped he would do.
Yeah, and you saw that during the second half of last season. He started to hit just a little bit better, just a little bit closer to league average with 93 WRC+. He started to walk a little bit more, cut down a little bit more of the strikeouts. And with the elite defense that Cody Hosey has, man, you root for this guy, a guy who's been battling injuries, who's been down, and people have given up on him as a prospect-wise. I'm not saying not completely unjustified because of the level of performance that he has. He's still going out there. He's still fighting. He's still competing, and that is great to see. It's great to see him do that in a fair role where he is healthy to do that, and he gets a healthy shot to be able to fight for his dream, to be able to fight for a big league career. And if Cody Hosey can reemerge himself even to a small degree of the level of prospect that he was once accustomed to, that's just going to help the Dodgers even more. And I'm excited to see what he's able to do full healthy. He's having a good spring. He's had a couple of good base hits, and he's looked good so far.
So let me put it to you this way. We talked about Ryan Ward in this vein too. So when you're watching these guys, we all do the math, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. Is there probably a starting position for Cody Hosey in the Dodgers organization? He would have to climb. I mean, he would have to really climb, right? So yeah. When you're evaluating him from a Dodgers fan's perspective, evaluate it from, hey, the better he gets, the more tradable he becomes, to where you can go get another guy from a different system that actually fits a need, and you don't have to do it giving away Dalton Rushing. So yeah. For every Cody Hosey and Ryan Ward that shows another club that they are worthy of trading for, that just means you're able to stay away and keep all of the guys that are at the very top of your list. Did I explain that properly?
That is exactly correct. And you talk about a lot of these different trade packages of what it might take. Back when we were talking a lot about a Jesus Luzardo, Tanner Scott trade, all of these big names, a lot of the big names that Dodgers have been talking about for prospect list, a catcher, a couple of pitchers, maybe an outfielder, or all of these different guys. If the Dodgers continue to develop and a lot of these other guys are able to emerge as legitimate type prospects, maybe they might not be to the same degree as some of the other guys, but if they increase themselves in value, that creates other teams they're going to have to think about, huh?
It's the margins, Austin. The margins.
Yeah, maybe we'll go ahead and want to take a look at a Cody Hosey or Ryan Ward. Again, they still have to do a little bit more to prove themselves to get to this point. But the Dodgers fans should be rooting for these guys with everything so that they can become the type of players so you can position your organization in the best possible position it can be, to where at the trade deadline, you can go out and build a super team and you're not having to give away every single one of the guys and the prospects in the organization. So you can build a dynasty type of roster to where you're competing for World Series every single year. That is the type of team that the Dodgers want, and that is only possible if these guys at the lower levels of the minor leagues have success and they start to turn into something to where you could move some of these guys. Having a lot of talent and a lot of guys being successful is the problem that the Dodgers want to see.
100%. So, hey, we're having a great show. We just have a tremendous lobby. Mr. Classic said Yankees for sure jumping and calling Scott Boras for Snell. Hey, Mr. Classic, oh my God, mm-hmm. Paez even goes low for a home run. Yeah, this dude's really, really good. Andy Paez, I went over. If you haven't seen the hot take that I did on him, broke down that swing, how he 45 degrees is, it's called a negative bat angle at about a 45-degree angle, which allows him to get the ball in the air without having to lift his hands. That right there, that combination – is why he's able to get the ball in the air without striking out at 30%, like some other guys have to do when they have to lift to get the ball in the air. One Eye Dragon says, go Ohtani and the other Dodgers. Mr. Classic says, Hayward's bat will not be enough. That very well could be the case. He had a good year last year, but sometimes lightning doesn't strike twice, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep, and that's why you have more talent coming up. That's why you have backup plans. And Andy Paez, I think he is in their plans for 2025 as their first option, but he can also doesn't mean that he's not a second option in 2024.
Yeah. One Eye Dragon says, can we use a designated fielder? That's funny. Hey, Matt Gort says, I want the hottest bat in there right now. I don't care who it is. Spring training's fine, but when you start games, if you take a guy like Jason Hayward that doesn't have minor league options, you can't just send him down for an Andy Paez. Because at that point, then you'd have to DFA him, and then you lose him, and you don't have the ability to bring him back. So if you take a guy like Jason Hayward and replace him with Andy Páez, you are releasing him from the organization. So for the guys, that's why the Dodgers have held on to Alex Vesia and Matt Gage and guys like that over Yency Almonte and Victor Gonzalez, because they can send them up and down. So that's going to be the problem with Andy Páez early, is that I think if you could send Andy Páez and switch him and Jason Hayward out and send Jason Hayward to Oklahoma City and flip him back and forth, I think the organization would probably do that at least a little bit. But you can't do that with Hayward because he doesn't have any minor league options.
Yeah, you have to be willing to give up on some players at the big league level and be willing to never see them on the Dodgers, at least in 2024, again, because they might get opportunities at other organizations. You'd have to designate them for assignment. If that is your call and you say, Andy Páez is too good and I'm willing to go through the struggles, I'm willing to go through some of the down times that minor league players and guys that get called up will have, then that it becomes a conversation where, okay, is it worth calling up Andy Páez and releasing Jason Hayward? That is the conversation that you need to have. But I don't expect them, especially after they signed him to a contract for $8 million, to give up on Jason Hayward right now. I think it's going to have to take some other circumstances for Andy Páez to get called up at least early in the season. I think they'll try to find some sort of way, if he continues with this success, to get him the lineup, but that is down the road right now.
Yeah, Norm Lee says Páez has to show he can make consistent contact and take walks and not just sell out for the power. He does that, he will force his way on the 26th. I got good news for you. Andy Páez is actually one of the best power prospects in the minor leagues at drawing walks. And he's also one of the best at not striking out. Let me give you some numbers here. Walk rate in double A last year, 17.6. That's big time, Austin. In high A with Great Lakes, the level below double A, 14.3. In rookie ball, 17.6. So you're talking about a guy that has approached a 20% walk rate. And then last year in double A, while he was posting almost an 8, well, if you round up, an 18% walk rate, his strikeout rate was only 22.5. 22.5 for a guy like Andy Páez that gets the ball in the air as much as he does and pulls the ball is not good. That's actually
back in order. So he wants to go out there instead of perhaps taking a few walks, which I'm sure now that pitchers are starting to see, okay, this guy, if I throw him a fastball down the middle, he's going to take me yard every single time. I might have to be careful about him. He might be looking right now, at least early in spring, to just try to get his swing back, to try to get a feel for everything after he spent so much time on the injured list, so much time being away from the game. I think you could see that a little bit to where he might be a little bit more aggressive. We've seen him strike out a couple of times. That is why you have to take all of this in spring training into a little bit of context. That's why you have to take minor league levels at times into context and try to think through them as a player. What might they be going through? What might they be working on? Right now, Andy Páez, I think, is just working to try to get his swing back. And right now, it's clicking, and it's fun to watch.
It is. Hey, we have a great crowd. We're going to get through this chat before we get out of here. So, hey, thank you so much, everybody, for joining. Deuce says that Andy Páez is blocked right now by T.O. and Taylor and Hayward. That is absolutely correct, and none of those guys have minor league options. And that's why Andy Páez will start at the AAA level, and that's why we said probably August at the earliest.
Yeah, it's going to take a while for him to get an opportunity to come up unless there is some type of injury, which you have to mention. You never root for it, but that is what might present an opportunity for him. I think early in the season, maybe they lean a little bit more Miguel Vargas just because Andy Páez hasn't seen more than one game at AAA level. But I think as he gets more reps, as he get more at bats, pretty soon you're going to see him called up, and it's going to be exciting.
I would agree. And the question is here by Deuce, what do they do when Lux shows his arm won't play at shortstop? Do you move Mookie back to right field? I think the first thing they would do in the short time is they would play Miguel Rojas at shortstop. I think Chris Taylor would work in there. They would do that for the short term until they figured out what the long-term plan would be. The most obvious would be Willy Adames. We have some comments in here, like from Norm. I kind of agree with Norm on the no on Adames, another high swing and miss type of guy. I just don't think adding another guy to the lineup that swings and misses a lot is a real great long-term solution for this. Rojas is solid defensively. I would push him for Kim, who would also be an ideal number two hitter, and move Ohtani to three and Freeman at cleanup. So I think the short-term plan would be Rojas and Taylor until you could figure out the long-term plan.
Yeah, Willy Adames would be a great defensive replacement for Gavin Lux. There's no doubt about that. He has proven, and he has shown with the outs above average, with defensive runs above replacement, defensive rough saves, I should say. With all of these numbers defensively, Willy Adames plays a really good style of baseball. It's some of those questions offensively as far as what type of player that you want on this team. Does strike out quite a bit, which you don't know if you want to add that to the mix. If it becomes apparent that Gavin Lux is not the answer at shortstop, the Dodgers will do their homework and they'll find a way to go about attacking it going forward. They do have in-house options that can fill in the short term. But then going into later into closer to the trade deadline, closer to June, July, however much time they want to give Gavin Lux, they will find an answer and they will have a plan, because with the amount of money that they're spending on this team, they are expecting excellence. They are expecting the best, which is why they've spent so much money. That's why they've invested so heavily in this team. They're sick and tired of losing, and they're going to do whatever they can to try to make this the best team possible. If Gavin Lux is the answer at shortstop, that would be amazing, because that means that is one less thing that you have to worry about. But right now, there is cause for concern. The Dodgers will address this eventually if needed.
We're going to go about 5 or 10 more minutes to get through all this chat. We've had a wonderful crowd tonight. Denard, hey, you got us a super chat from Denard, Austin. Denard says, hey, Austin, great job on Monday. I would agree with that. Matt Cord, I would agree with Matt here, too. I don't think Mookie wants to play right field at all. I totally agree with that. Mr. Classic, honestly, I'm not sure what the difference between Jay Hay and Joey Gallo is. They all have gold gloves. Joey just hit a tad below Jay Hay. And One Eye Dragon says, I really want to see Mookie at second base. I totally agree with that. I think Mookie needs to go to second base and stay. Mr. Classic says, I'm giving Gavin Lux all the chances. I certainly hope Gavin just, I hope he relaxes and he gets comfortable and he does what he's capable of. Deuce says, is Lux's bat good enough to force Mookie to move off of second base? We've had that discussion. That's a very interesting discussion. It's one that's full of just a lot of interesting conversations. Miguel Vargas starting to look like a bust. He is struggling, I got to say, you, Austin. Miguel Vargas is flat struggling.
Yeah, he's struggling a little bit. Again, you have to take it into context. It is early in spring training. But
he just doesn't look good. I mean, it's one thing to say, hey, you're not worried about results. You're not worried about this and that. But, I mean, it's another just to say the guy, he just doesn't look good. He doesn't look right. He doesn't look comfortable. He doesn't look strong. He doesn't look like any of that right now.
Yeah, I think that is all totally fair. And he could very well, or if he hasn't already, be passed by a Andy Pages, a Jose Ramos. Now that he's out there in the outfield, he has all the opportunities to go out there and succeed. Right now, he's not taking advantage of it.
I would agree. I don't mean that to throw shade. I mean, like I said, we got a wonderful crowd here. Our Dodgers dogs are fantastic. We got to shoot it real, man. I mean, I've seen Miguel Vargas play a million different times, and he just doesn't look like Miguel Vargas right now. It looks like he's lost all his confidence. It looks like he's tentative. It looks like, I don't know. It's hard to explain. It pains me to be negative towards these guys in any way, shape, or form, but you just got to call it what it is. That's the page I'm on. Am I too negative there, Austin?
I don't think you're completely too negative. That's because of the expectations that we have from Miguel Vargas. And that's the type of player that we know he can be. And right now, he's not living up to that type of player. And we wish him the best. We want him to be able to succeed.
Yep. Hey, Daryl says, Ryan Ward's looking like a guy that can contribute. He's doing well this spring. I agree with that. The problem with Ryan Ward and Ramos both, neither one of them are on the 40-man, so somebody has to get DFA'd to even get them on just the 40-man. That's not even talking about the 26. So Ramos and Ward and Drew Avens, they have a way longer path than Andy Pages does. There's no doubt about that. Roy Estrada says, Ramos, Pages deserve spots. Put Teoscar in right field and put Pages in left. We don't wait on these guys. Ramos can platoon with Altman. Altman looks like a sophomore slump creeping in. Yeah, Altman didn't look very good with his at-bats today. I would put Pages in right because I think Pages has the best arm of anybody in the system.
Yeah, and I think it's, you talk to people within its organization, I think they would tell you that Pages would profile best as a right fielder.
Hey, we have a comment that is Joe Kelly actually better than Ricky Venasco or Kyle Hurt? Let's get over to Venasco. I think I've talked about him a million times. I love this guy. I've talked about how good he is. I've talked about how good Kyle Hurt is. Joe Kelly has been, there's two Joe Kellys. There's Joe Kelly, and then there's the Joe Kelly when he's playing for the Dodgers, right? The Joe Kelly for the Dodgers is as, now when he's healthy. The problem with him is he hadn't been able to stay healthy. But the healthy Joe Kelly with the Dodgers has been simply fantastic. Having said that, Kyle Hurt, Ricky Venasco was awesome again today. Those guys are really, really good. So what are your thoughts on Venasco?
Yeah, both Venasco and Kyle Hurt, especially with what we were able to see with Venasco, they're pushing. And there's a reason why the Dodgers signed Ricky Venasco to that contract. Mm-hmm. There's a reason why they have stuck with him onto this 40-man roster, even though there might have been calls from Dodgers fans who don't know who Ricky Venasco is to perhaps DFA him in certain situations. He is really good. He is really talented. Dodgers fans are really having a chance to see him on display for the mm-hmm. first time. Right now, Joe Kelly obviously has the upper hand. He has the major league contract. He has the established relationship with the big league club. He's going to have to go out there and perform. He's going to have to be dominant against right-handed hitters, something he was really good at last season. Today, struggled a little bit. Ball was hit pretty hard during his outing today. Ricky Venasco was able to go out there, be successful. We've seen that with a lot of these other guys. I'd like to see Venasco perhaps get some opportunities, maybe a little bit earlier in the game when maybe some of the starters are out there. He can't control who he's out there, and Ricky Venasco has been dominating all of the hitters so far that he has faced in spring training. It is really encouraging for him, really encouraging because of the journey that Ricky Venasco has been on, fighting through every and trying to get every single opportunity that he's got. He's going to be pushing, and these guys need to keep pushing these veterans on the big league club to perform, because it shouldn't be an established assumption that you're going to have this role, you're going to have this position forever, because there's too much talent in this organization that is going to be pushing for your spot. That's going to just raise your expectations, raise your bar of excellence. And Joe Kelly is going, as much as Dodgers fans love him and as much as he already has an established role, he's going to have to perform because there's guys coming up behind him that are pushing for a spot.
I've got 35 spring training games. Would that be correct, Austin?
For so far this year?
No, but total. Is that how many they play?
I don't know exactly how much. Yeah. It's around 30-ish, 28 to 30, 35,
Let's say 35, yeah. Give or take, right?
Yeah.
Okay, Jose Ramos needs more seasoning at AAA. That's what Gordon says. Hey, Daniel Hudson looked really good, too. I think both mm-hmm. Daniel Hudson and Blake Treinen, I think they both looked really good. And don't forget, Blake Treinen can really close. He's a guy that when they're both healthy, they're very good. Cole says, it's safe to say the prospects are carrying the team in spring. Yeah, they're doing a really good job. Hey, Daryl says, Landon Knack deserves a spot. Yeah, he did a really good job in his one outing. Mr. Classic at all MLB scouts are there 100%. So who's getting traded? Stone, Vargas, and who? I think we'll have to wait and see what, before we say that, what needs actually come up, whether it's a shortstop or an outfielder or whatever it may be. Hey, Mr. Classic says he likes Swaggerty. Still needs to work on his fielding, though. Matt Cord, that was, let's see. One-Eyed Dragon, we have, let's see. Let's get down to some more. Got to see DePaula. Somebody wants to see DePaula. We'll get to him on the next one. Andy Piatt's future is opening day. Maybe Jason Hayward, fourth outfielder. And Matt Cord says, we are so good we can afford the kids coming up and taking their lumps. I would agree with that. I would love to see that. I think everybody knows that, but I don't think you're going to see that. Hey, Mr. Classic says, I agree with Austin. And see, the thing is, Miguel Vargas already had his chance last season. Yeah, I would say, though, that he did it with a broken hand, and he just kind of got off to a bad start for that. I would say that he probably needs a second chance. He's getting it right now, and he needs to take advantage of it, point blank. Mm-hmm. Hey, Daniel Magana, thank you so much for joining. Where has Sheehan and Cartaya been on the block? I actually don't have answers to that. Do you know anything about that, Austin?
Yeah, I don't know a whole lot about it, about either Sheehan or Cartaya. I don't have any word official or anything that I've really seen to definitely say that I would trust that or have any really sort of idea about it. Yep. So I'm not entirely sure.
Yeah, Chuck Huddleston, this is a good comment. I hope Vargas isn't getting into his own head already. He seems like he might be starting to press. Some success now might go a long ways. That is exactly right. That is 100% correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'd be great for him to be able to have a little bit of success to kind of rebuild that confidence that Miguel Vargas flashed through his journey in the minor leagues all the way up to his debut last season, or at least his full time appointment at the major league club last season. Yep. I'd love to see that version of Miguel Vargas back because it is in there somewhere.
Hey, Roy says, Casey, I played shortstop. When you're out with an injury or any kind of downtime, it takes time to get your lateral movement and hands where it needs to be. Anticipation is a big part of the position. Yeah, that's part of the Dodgers fans just need to be patient enough with Gavin Lux to at least give him the full run that he needs to prove whether he can or can't do it, right?
Yeah, no, that's absolutely correct.
Too many 40-man roster spots taken by injured pitchers rehabbing from TJ surgery forced the Yankees trade. Yeah, we're talking about that. That's part of the conversation the Dodgers like to have journeymen over at their prospects. So, hey, I think that's going to take us down to the end of our chat today. It has been a great, great show tonight. I can't thank everybody who joined this show enough. Austin, I know this was on short notice for you. So, hey, thank you so much, everybody, for joining. Final thoughts for you, Austin.
Yeah, it's been a fun last couple of days being in, going there and watching spring training baseball on TV to see the Dodgers in action, to see the exciting faces. For me, it's really excited to see a lot of the prospects get opportunities, from the Juan Murillo going in there and throwing 100 to the Michael Hobbsy getting out there, getting opportunities.
Oh, did Murillo hit 100?
I don't know if he actually hit 100. I just know that he can hit 100 and he throws that just electricity. I don't know. I haven't seen the actual Statcast data on him yet, but no, all of these guys, to see them go out there to compete, to see baseball back, there is nothing better than this. It is super exciting, and to do it with the Dodgers Daily fans, to be able to work through this journey, through the expectations that the Dodgers have. Now you need to see results, and we're starting to see some really good baseball. I know the Dodgers lost today, and Dodgers don't normally lose. This is the first spring training loss, but they have played a lot of really good baseball. There's been a lot of really good excitement. It's really fun. You guys are just awesome, right? That's all I can say.
And my Dodgers dogs are ready for their daddy to take them on a walk. So it is time to get out of here, right? And hey, again, thank you so much for everybody to join in. It has been just an awesome show. And until next time, which will be Friday evening, go Dodgers.